This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Dynamic banter. Mike and Steve are gonna do bits and have some fun. Dynamic banter. Honking horns and ringing bells and making good. Dynamic banter. Don't forget the history rose. Dynamic banter.
Hey guys, welcome to.
Good God. Fuck, man. I didn't expect that at all.
We do this show for us, guys.
That's 100% true, and we thank you so much for liking it. If you do like it, it really do mean that we have a shared fiber of a sense of humor somewhere deep in within all of us.
And despite our differences and where we grew up.
Different heights,
different dads.
We all have different dads.
Some of us have different dads.
Yeah. I would say 99% of the podcast audience has a different dad. Speaking of daddy, that's mummy.
Dude, if you want to talk about what that was, we could. Otherwise, we could just let it cruise on by.
I think it's fun to...
It's so fun.
I think it would be fun to talk about it for a second.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it for a second.
So I have a few things I want to talk about today. Welcome to the show.
Steve's upset.
I'm upset. I have a few things. Well, am I upset?
No.
Let me think. One of these things I might be upset about.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm upset about one of them.
Okay.
It has to do with a beloved character from a beloved film franchise we call Le Matrix.
Is there any way to get some steam rising from Steve's head?
I'm getting heated.
Over He's getting here. A little red and maybe some steam from ears. Maybe one close.
Eyes. Dude, oh man, I could jump into a lot of shit right now because I just saw this out of the corner of my eye.
I never.
And it's been a while since we heard Ozzy. And this morning I saw a clip of Ozzy from 1982.
Mm-hmm.
And he has like the shortest haircut I've ever seen him in. And he looks so young and he's like a little chubby. And it's so weird to see him like that. And
he looks like Elton John for
a little bit, yeah. And the interviewer is asking him about biting the head off of a bat. And he was like, well, actually, and you could kind of understand him.
Yeah.
He's like, people would fucking throw things on the fucking stage. And, you know, everybody's having a fun time.
Everyone's having a laugh.
Sharon. And someone fucking threw a bat. On the stage, and I guess he thought it was like a toy, so he bit the head off.
Fuck.
And he said it was a total accident.
Yeah.
And he hated it, and he didn't like that it happened.
I mean, who would? Who does? But that's such a cool. Like, I would have never have known that he didn't absolutely love that.
Same.
Until you just said that.
Same.
Right now.
Same. Yeah. And like. And it's interesting because it's like, you know, knowing that part of his legacy is biting the head off of a bat, for sure.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Among many other things, but certainly that one's up there. I feel like everybody knows that story. But the idea that like he did it because he's crazy and he's like a hard rocking, like mysterious rock star.
Yeah.
Made it like 10 times cooler because it was like, man, don't fuck with this guy. He bit the head off a bat while he was rocking out and shit.
Did he bite the head off other shit? Didn't he bite the head off a dove or something?
So yeah, I guess later on he did it because what I'm assuming is because in 1982, I think he was getting a lot of shit for it. Like animal rights people were like, you bit the head off an animal.
You don't tell me what to do. I tell you what to do.
He said he felt bad about it. He was like, I felt bad. I didn't want to do that. Like, I didn't like it.
But
what I'm thinking is like his like team was probably like, well, this everybody loves that you did that.
That's the craziest part.
Yeah.
And that's the part I think about like. Let's say take somebody like Jake Paul, who is kind of like a you just do douchey things and that becomes your persona.
Yeah.
What if like he didn't even want to do any of that stuff.
Yeah. And but it was somebody's just a team.
Like, listen, they have a meeting and they're like, close the door.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming in. I know it's the middle of the day on a Friday and we all hate traffic, don't we? Yeah. Door closes.
Yeah.
And they're like, you can make $1 billion if you're just kind of an asshole.
Yeah. Like there's a, they brought him into a meeting just before he blew up. You and can there's make- two circles. And above the first circle, it says
there's a dollar amount, and there's a big circle.
Yeah, yeah.
And it says $1 billion.
Yeah.
But all the zeros are there.
Over here, you could make $1 billion, and over here, you could maybe do all right making like, watch me do this how-to video on right. YouTube.
So, what is the difference between this amount of money and this amount of money? We take the cap off the dry erase bin. And in big letters, he writes, be an asshole.
And then he just drops the pen
then,
like a
and
mic.
And then he goes like this. He goes like this. He points to the $1 billion.
Yeah. I mean, it's. I love the idea that like maybe he's not an asshole and he's just being made to do it. But yeah, I mean, let's look it up because it sounds like,
maybe that's why Vince McMahon likes him so much. Maybe he's just a good person and he's just playing a heel. And then that's the most wrestling thing that you could possibly do.
So what else did he bite the head off of is what I want to know.
I think there was a bird. Cause I remember.
Yeah. A dove.
You know how some people let them out for their weddings?
Yeah.
And then some people will bite their head off for a gag.
Okay, here we go. When Ozzy bit off the heads of two doves.
Two doves.
He did what? Says VCR Classic Rock and Culture. UCR Ultimate Classic Rock.com says that was pretty much the reaction of music fans on March 27th, 1981, when the world began to spread that Ozzy Osbourne, the recently deposed Black Sabbath singer. Had bit the heads off of two white doves with his teeth.
This is what it sounds like when you bite doves.
Two doves.
Scoot, scoot, doom.
As the saying goes, sometimes truth is stranger than fiction, says UCR Ultimate Classic Rock and Culture.com.
My parents used to have a huge UCR. You could fit two of them in there.
Sometimes, and Osbourne was finding even wilder and unbelievable ways to reinvent his sound and image. First off, he was greatly aided and abetted by a dynamite new backing band led by guitar whiz Randy Rhoads. Randy Rhoads. What do we got about Randy Rhoads here? Randy Rhoads grew up in the Southern California where he did cocaine since the day he was born. His mama put three strings in front of him and he started shredding the guitar. He taught Jimi Hendrix how to have sex. Single-handedly taught Jimi Hendrix to do sex. He taught Jimi Hendrix that he was doing sex wrong his whole life. Changed his life. Randy Rhoads.
He smacked Bob Dylan in the dick once.
Randy Rhoads killed JFK. The motherfucker could shred on guitar like no other. Mommy got scared. Okay, so at this point, Sharon was his manager.
Sharon.
Many people have attempted to make sense of that day's bizarre events. Mick Wall, who recounted the incident in his Black Sabbath biography, this must be about the bat. Sharon arranged for Ozzy to give a short speech.
Why don't you just Google, did Ozzy bite the heads off two doves? Because then it'll give you the answers.
Because we're really here with ultimateclassicrock.com.
We're really here.
So here's the deal. Sharon arranged for Ozzy to give a short speech.
Wrap it up. Hey, Ozzy, wrap it up. So I'm going down on Sharon.
So Sharon arranged for us to give a short speech, lauding the efforts of the company workforce in the lead up to the U.S. release of Blizzard of Oz.
This is new Dairy Queen flavor.
Wall wrote, the piece de resistance was to have Ozzy ending his speech by releasing three white doves into the gathered audience of label higher-ups and worker bees.
Fuck yeah, rock and roll, baby.
You know what suits love, doves.
Rock and roll, baby.
Punk rock in front of executives.
Oi, I was fighting there, eating their little sandwiches and their coup de grace.
I ate all the industry's fucking sandwiches.
I ate their fucking sandwiches. I drank out of open bar. I fucking hate the system.
They packed me cat.
Where's me iPhone?
1989.
But Arden's clever peacemaking reference unexpectedly gruesomely backfired when Osborne, who had polished off a bottle of brandy in the car on the way to the convention, Ozzy, did you ever do that? Okay.
I believe him. I don't know why, but I do.
I do believe him. Apparently, Arden's clever peacemaking reference unexpectedly and gruesomely backfired when Osborne, who had polished off a bottle of brandy in the car on the way to the convention, got bored with the proceedings.
Hell yeah, dude. That's what's up.
As Osborne recalled to Wall, I just remember this PR woman going on and on at me. In the end, I said, they are animals. Then I pulled out one of those doves and bit its fucking head off just to shut her up. Then I did it again with the next dove, spitting the head out on the table. And the woman fell on the floor screaming.
Yeah, man, because that's a crazy thing to see a person do.
Yeah, right.
Imagine
in front of your face.
How boring you have to be.
Yeah, that sucks.
To need a conversation ended with you like that.
Do you think that woman is a big Ozzy Osbourne fan?
I think that woman is different now than she was before.
I think
that
so
moment.
Too. After that moment.
Yeah. I don't believe
she fell on the floor screaming, and that's when they threw me out. They said I'd never work for CBS again.
They said, oh, never.
A mortified Arden immediately turned his potential fiasco to her advantage, says Classic Rock and Culture, UCR, ultimateclassicrock.com. But it was great press for his album. So I think he...
You think it was a stunt?
It was a stunt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
I'm the Prince of Fighting Darkness. How are we going to sell it?
Right. So, okay, so that was a complete aside thing that I wasn't ready to talk about.
It's okay, that's fun.
But we did it anyway, and it was fun. So I have three things that I want to talk about today. Gorge. And we'll see how many we get to.
Okay.
But one of them is about the film series, Les Matrix. And specifically about one of the most beloved characters, Orifice. And we'll get to that later.
Cut to that.
Okay, so I don't know if you want to talk about the origins of how we got to this Hulk Hogan thing yet.
I think so.
Okay.
I think that for a while we talk about things that we're nerdy about all the time. Beatles,
Muppets,
Cloverfield, Muppets. The Beatles.
Movies.
We talked about the Beatles a bunch. Big, small.
All of the sizes.
Open, close. And we, you know, have played around with the idea of doing kind of an extra like wrestling thing podcast.
Like a feature within the show.
Yeah. And yesterday we kind of tried to do it. Oh, actually, over the span of 2 days, we tried to do it. Mm-hmm. And we sat down, we watched a specific wrestling event from a time long ago history,
which we'll get to at some point. You'll hear all about it. We're working on it behind the scenes.
Just know that we got together, we did an extra thing having to do with wrestling.
Yes.
And it's, I think that we, as much as we try not to do this, I think what we have the tendency to do sometimes is be like, man, we can't wait for this. Mm-hmm. And we've made it a point to hold our tongues about a lot of things that are definitely happening and coming out. We just want to manage expectations at all times. And absolutely. there was one point where we were like, wouldn't it be fun to do something like this? And then we get a lot of DMs like, you guys got to do it. So just know that we sat down and we did it. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited about it. And in the process of doing that, Steve unearthed a gem that I had no previous knowledge about, and it made me have weird feelings on the inside, and then it made me laugh really hard out of my eyes.
I'm just I'm surprised we haven't talked about this, and if we have, please forgive us for absolutely forgetting.
Are you talking about the song or the thing?
This thing in general. Uh-huh. this album.
Uh-huh.
That exists because Mike and I were digging through the old wrestling chest.
You've heard of it.
The past couple of days, we saw Hulk Hogan once or twice. Mm-hmm. And I recalled a time when I was a young lad in Oxnard, and I went to the 99-cent store and found what would be a defining moment in my life. And I found an album by Hulk Hogan called Hulk Rules.
Yeah.
And it's Hulk Hogan and the Wrestling Boot Band.
You guys can be called anything. What do you guys want to be called?
Yeah, anything you want. Well, we got to have wrestling in the name, shouldn't we?
Okay, so.
What about the wrestling bow?
What do wrestlers have? Wrestling tights?
Yeah, they have hats sometimes.
Okay. Wrestling knee pad. We'll be the knee pads. Mikey and the knee pads.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes they have boots, but sometimes they have belts.
What? Go back one.
Belts?
No, before that.
Boots?
Boots. Boots kind of sounds like bands if you say it weird.
Whoa, wrestling boots band.
It doesn't sound great, but I do think that's the one.
So, it doesn't sound great at all, but I think that's the one.
Somebody already wrote it down.
So I found this album and I had to have it. It's got Hulk Hogan struggling to push a turd out on the cover, and there's an American flag behind him.
No relation.
And his hat says Hogan on it, and I want to say this
he has
might
a hat on?
Well, he's got that like do-rag thing or whatever.
Oh, bandana.
The bandana. Yeah. He's got his little Hulk Hogan hat on.
Hulk Hogan's aunt, Debbie Hogan. You got your hat, Hulk?
Anyway, so I remember listening to this album and loving every second of it as a cynical little comedy boy. But yeah. Here's a track that, before we get to the piece de resistance, because there's a lot of songs on this album, and not all... Not all of them are good.
Oh, whoa, really?
Yeah, we got the first track is called Hulkster's in the House.
Oh, that's good to know where he's at.
And then we got American Made. We got Hulkster's Back.
Does it say what year this came out? Because that's important. It's important to know which Hulkster we're getting. Because we're either getting...
I mean, it looks like it could even be like 89 or something. Let's find out for sure.
Yeah.
Hulk Rules album. You could buy it right now on CD for $57. 1995.
So this was like WCW Hulk Hogan. This is like... Shill Hulk Hogan.
it looks like 80s to me though.
No, man.
And it's not.
It's very different. Like the one you saw the other night.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is very much like, give me all your money, WCW.
Okay, I'm ready for some money stuff.
Yeah.
He's in the money at this point.
Dude, when he got to WCW, he had a macaroni grill or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
This is that guy.
Yeah. He had like a Hulk restaurant that he bought. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was, yeah.
But it was like just lasagna. But
this was also
something
before the Hulk reality show.
Oh, yeah.
Hogan Knows Best.
Yeah. That was like 2001
yeah.
or something.
Anyway, so there's a couple of tracks on this album worth noting, I think. But the rest of the track listing is Hulkster's Back. Wrestling Boot Traveling Band.
This is a terrible time for Hulk Hogan. Only did cringy shit
in 95.
This like 2 year period. Yeah.
It's bad. It's bad, dude.
But this is right before doing this. Everyone starts to hate Hulk
Hogan.
Right,
right. They're like, why are you doing
this? His fans hate all this shit.
Yeah.
And then he turns into a bad guy like 96.
Oh,
and
yeah.
then he blows the fuck
up. Is that Hollywood Hogan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is like peak cringy go fuck yourself Hogan.
And someone's like, you gotta rebrand yourself, dude, because this American dude thing isn't working out right now.
Not anymore,
but it's not working out.
Change with the times, Hulk.
Okay, here's the rest of the track listings. Bad to the Bone. I don't know if that's a cover. I don't think it's a cover. I Wanna Be a Hulkamaniac, which is possibly the greatest song on the album.
Mm-hmm.
Strictly from an instrumentation and lyric perspective. We've also got, for some reason, a song called Beach Patrol.
Because I think he did a show called Thunder in Paradise.
Oh, yeah. I remember Thunder in Paradise.
Yeah.
But is this him? Man. Is this about him scoping all the babes?
It's about him scooping the bag is what it's about.
Here's another song
horizontal
called
Horizontal Integration.
There's another song called Hulk's the One.
Still the one I run to.
And then, dude, ballsy to put this as second to last track. But this is the one that we're really going to dive into in a little bit.
Says Ultimate Warrior, suck my dick.
No, even better. Hulkster in Heaven.
Fuck.
And then the final track
of the tour stops.
Final track, of course, title of the album. Gotta have Hulk Rules in there. Hulk Rules is the final song on the Hulk Rules album.
That's a good bookend for the album.
But what I want to play for you guys is actually track 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Track 6, surprisingly. Because really, I think this is the song you open your Hulk Rules album with.
Uh-huh.
Truly. And I played this for Mike. Mike had not known that this existed.
That's correct.
And it's something that I cherish, truly, because it's really the only piece of Hulk Hogan.
Dude, no wonder you hated wrestling.
But you know what, dude? But I loved Suburban Commando.
Uh-huh.
And I loved Gremlins 2. And the fact that he showed up in Gremlins 2 was like, dude, if he's in Gremlins 2, he's probably great.
Uh-huh.
I liked Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until, because I think when I discovered this album, I think I was pretty much friends with my friend Bobby, who was like the big wrestling nerd in our group.
Okay.
And he loved Mankind.
Uh-huh.
And he would like bring the sock to school.
So this is like 1997.
Yeah, well, maybe 90. It could have even been 98.
Okay, sure.
But he was a huge Mankind fan. And so that's when I started to like not hate wrestling so much and more go like, oh, well, people I like wrestling. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's not that bad.
Right.
But this made me laugh at wrestling. For
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And you know, and it's all Hulk's fault, but truly I think it is. But anyway, here's the track off of Hulk Hogan's Hulk Rules album called I Want to Be a Hulkamaniac. 1995.
These sounds are all old for 95.
Have fun with my family and friends.
And you know he's like fucking like this.
Oh yeah.
Like treating the mic like an orb.
He's probably holding the mic and he's sweating. Yeah. Like more than anyone should.
Turn the snare up and down in my headphone. Keep turning it up and down.
Why do we have people sweating in the studio so hard when we talk about people in the studio?
Always.
It's so funny to me.
Because that's work. You're at work.
Yeah, yeah. Because remember we were talking about the Herb Albert guy? Yeah. And what was it? Was it the guy with the horn?
The horn. The Tijuana Taxi.
Yeah.
The hottest
studio. We were talking about how... it was the hottest studio in LA at the time or whatever it was. But imagine how hot it was in this fucking studio.
Very hot.
Burning hot.
Imagine how many sleeves he didn't have on.
Oh, man. Imagine how many shirts he ripped up in the studio.
Dude, it's just like a pile of shirts around
rags. All right, let's hear his rap. First of all, I want to be a Hulkamaniac, have fun with my family and friends.
Yeah.
Hulkamaniac. Okay, so if we want to be a Hulkamaniac, he's telling us how to be a Hulkamaniac.
Oh, okay, I'll get a pen.
Okay, get a pen. Let's get ready. Here we go.
If you want to be a Hulkamaniac, I can sure tell you how to stay on track. You gotta train, say your prayers, eat your vitamins too. These are all the things that the maniacs do. Positive thoughts and positive...
Okay, wait. We gotta follow these. Let's try to follow these rules.
Let's see what we've done so far.
All right.
Positive thoughts and positive deeds.
When's the end? Who's singing that, and what face do they have on while they're doing it?
It's the Wrestling Boot Band, I'm assuming.
Have fun with my family and friends.
They're so sad while they sing it.
They all want it to be rock stars.
All right, guys, this is going to be our first recording session. Woo! Get pumped up, guys! A smack chest! Let's do a bump of fucking coke!
We're gonna be fucking huge, dude. Did you get the sheet music that we're playing today?
Absolutely. I got a bass line that you're not gonna believe. Listen to this.
Oh, fuck yeah. That's killed. What are the lyrics?
Real high energy shit.
Can you handle that, Rob?
Oh, man, you're gonna get your face melted off when you hear this shit. You ready for this? Listen to this.
Oh shit, those are the keys?
Yeah, we don't need a band. I'm doing it all here.
You guys are actually fired, actually.
Let's see what the second verse is.
Like a third grade.
How many drugs had he been on by that time?
You know, that is very funny. He just doesn't want kids to do it.
Right.
Yeah. But as soon as you get a little old enough.
Give it a shot, kid. Let's hear the third verse.
Smoking weed and sniffing coke. I mean, don't do that. That's a joke.
Wait, I'm joking.
I thought we had stopped recording.
Honestly, this is the most wretched chorus I think I've ever heard.
It's the most low energy. This is worse than people singing Happy Birthday with like no energy.
With zero energy.
Yeah.
How could you do that? How can you print that?
It's not fun.
Who's producing that? And they're like,
dude,
perfect.
I'm telling you, I've never met Hulk Hogan in my entire life. That guy... The director says cut, or the producer says, okay, we got it. And he goes.
Yeah. And yeah. Where's my money? Give me my money.
Yeah.
Give me my money.
And they hand him a bag of money with a giant dollar sign on it. And then he throws half of it up in the air and drives away in his motorcycle.
I'm coming.
Yes.
Let's hear this third verse of this song real quick. If there is a third verse.
Try to do good each and every day. Don't give up nothing bad to say. Always go swimming with a buddy. Work real hard and always study.
Always go swimming with a buddy. After the drugs thing.
Oh man, this song is not. We're not meant to read these lyrics.
Always go swimming with a buddy?
Even when you're an adult, yeah.
I can't be a Hulkamaniac unless I. Always go swimming.
Well, these are really more like guidelines, brother.
I give you specific rules.
If you don't follow them, get the fuck out.
end of the song.
I wanna be sing the chorus. Sing it. Sing it, brother.
Be real, real cool. Don't be so stupid and play the fool. Get your education each and every day. These are all the things that the maniacs say.
Okay. They all say that?
There's 4 minutes of the chorus before it ends.
Those people singing in the back, are they maniacs?
Yeah, they're the maniacs.
They don't really give off maniac vibes.
Do you want to hear? I don't know if I remember all of these, but this is Hulkster's in the House. This is what opens the album.
Dude, it sounds just like the other songs. Like, Hulkster's in the house, and Hulkster's in the house. Don't lock the door, Hulkster can't get out. All right,
this is what opens the album.
Can you hit the drums as hard as you fucking can?
I want you to break it.
The Hulkster's in the house. Check him out, check him out.
Wait, the band sounds like they have some energy here. So where was the energy for...
They used it on this song.
It's all done.
Get up off your seat.
Get up off your seat.
He's got a brand new beat. When the going gets tough, the tough get rough.
You know what, dude, I just had a like a vision of what the writing room must be like. So you're the band and you're all the writers,
right?
And you know nothing about wrestling,
right?
And you're like, fuck, we need lyrics for all these songs. Oh. And you've got Steve in front of you, you've got pages and pages, and I'm Hulk Hogan.
Okay, hey Hulkster,
I'm not in the meeting.
Oh, got it. Okay. All right,
so
guys.
You're stressed out with your friends. You're writing with your friends.
Guys, we got to get these lyrics out here, man. And Hulkster's coming. If we don't have something good, he's going to beat the fuck out of us with those 24-inch pythons. And you fucking know it, brother. Oh, shit. Here he is. Shh, everyone, shut the fuck up. I'm hungry. Shut the fuck up!
Hey, brother.
Hulkster, man. Great to see you.
So you're the band dudes, huh?
Yes. And what we have for you, sir, is so many lyrics. You want some Coke?
No, I got my full, brother.
Okay, great. I'm surprised you didn't get Coke contact high when you walked in the room, Hulkster.
Okay, that's enough of the jokes for now. Are those the lyrics?
Yes, here's the lyrics. So here we have...
looks like you've been working pretty hard on these lyrics.
Are you kidding me? Man, this is the most important album
looks like
of our lives.
Looks like there's a ton of lyrics, dude.
Most important album of
stacks
our
stacks of lyrics, brother.
Stacks.
Can I see those stacks?
Yeah, actually, here you go, man. Okay. Uh-oh.
It doesn't matter, dude. Hit record.
What, really?
And play as hard as you
Here we go. Oh my god, he ripped up the lyrics. So you guys are going to say, I want to be a Hulkamaniac.
We do
nine
one
times.
Take and you do it perfect.
What the fuck?
2, 3, 4.
Oh, sir, we can't.
2, 3, 4.
Well, here's a song we've been working on if you want to improvise over
sing
it.
Sing it.
What do you think about this solo, Hulkster?
Fucking shut your mouth.
I'm gonna rip your spine out of your mouth.
When the song is over, it's over.
You got it, man. So there's some real good stuff in here. Here's Bad to the Bone. You think it's a cover?
I think it's a cover. I think they got the rights.
Let's find out. Ooh, someone's starting up a hog. That's how you start a rock and roll song.
Who's playing the hog?
We got Joe on the hog. Joey. Mortimer on the hog.
Got Morty on the hog.
I don't think this is a cover, dude.
It's a different Bad to the Bone.
Different Bad to the Bone.
Bad to the Bone 2.
It sounds like something they use in Bill and Ted.
It sounds like the start of the show. Who is that guy?
Probably someone in the wrestling boot, traveling boot band.
Bobby Boots.
Is Hulk even singing this, you think?
He's on bass.
Bad, bad dude, bad dude, dude.
Oh, no, it's so bad.
It's very bad.
All right, let's hear Beach Patrol really quick.
Oh, fuck yeah. Drop a motherfucking beat.
Clear. Yeah, I think I can spit some bars to this, brother.
Luanati.
I was walking down the beach, looking for some action. Had my radio set on a rap rock station. Saw a girl in trouble, a sticky situation. She wanted me to give her mouth to mouth and just catch on.
Whoa, this song's about fucking kind of.
So my dick got me red and I put it in her vagina. She was lubricated because she wanted to have sex.
He just gets like disgustingly.
But also like very technically, right?
Yeah.
It erections when blood flow goes to the penis. Din, 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 din.
We were doing lots of drugs and some were intravenous.
I didn't want to have kids, so I pulled out my penis.
Holy shit.
Hey, Hulkster. Listen, man, I don't think we can do this, these lyrics.
Keep
man.
Playing. Right here.
So her tits are pretty good. They weren't the best I ever had, but...
Listen, Hulk, we can't.
Her name was Brenda, and she lived in Tampa Bay. Her address is as follows. 442 Maryvale Way.
No, Hulk, no.
What's the problem,
bro? I'm drawing the line here, man. You
What's
can't
the problem,
put,
brother?
You do not put someone's real home address on the album,
okay,
man.
Okay, how much do you weigh?
Oh, God.
What are you, like, 182?
Are you really doing this?
What are you, like 4'7", 182? Hit play. Her name was Brenda. She lived in Tampa Bay.
Her mom's name is Gloria.
Here is her number.
She works at an Olive Garden in Tampa.
225-789.
We were cruising down the beach. Checking out the action. Had my radio rocking to a heavy mix.
Wait, did he just repeat the lyric?
I got one verse. You got one verse, and I'm gone.
Putting on some shades, trying to catch some rays when I caught the lifeguard. Mess with my baby.
Who's that? Whoop, there it is. Whoop, there it is. Can you take the chorus of another song and just use it in your song?
Yeah.
Is that sampling?
Yeah. Hulk had the first sampling. Okay. Man, we got deep into Hulk Hogan here, but we can't stop until we get to...
That's pretty funny.
There's one more piece of fucking gold here, guys. And
I do feel like we're mining right now.
Dude, we've been digging deep. Uh-huh. We found some good shit here. And this thing has been a personal treasure trove for me for very many years.
Yeah.
But we've finally gotten to the track that I will never forget. And should we do the ads and then come to it? Yeah, let's do that. All right, when we come back, we're going to discover the magic, the wonder, the beauty that is Hulk Hogan's Hulkster in Heaven.
Welcome to a record review show.
Right after this.
Squarespace. Scumpy, baby, puppy, pong.
All right. Hey, guys, welcome to the ad portion of the show. I want to thank HeadGum. And I want to thank all of the sponsors, the following sponsors, equally. And thank you for being... a part of the program. We only really push stuff that Mike and I believe in and Mike and I have used ourselves and like. So shout out to that. Shout out to Tegrity.
Who's that?
The guy that's not in the Matrix. All right. Guys, let's talk about Squarespace. We love Squarespace. Been a longtime sponsor on the program. Mike Falzone has a Squarespace website, That's mikefalzone.com. Right. You can check that out at any time. and see how cool it is to have your own website that's easy to make. You don't have to install anything. It works right out of the dang gate. You could do it on your phone. There's a customer service line that is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And it's award-winning because they're always there to help you when you're in need. But
not only that, but design-wise, they have these award-winning templates.
Oh, yeah.
That you could just go basically fill out. I'm telling you, I would not have my own personal website because I don't know how to do all that stuff. But Squarespace makes it so easy to put... to make it look however you want, and you would think it's super complicated because of how beautiful it looks on the back end of stuff, but it's not, and I'm very thankful that they exist.
Yeah, and it's really just for people who want to, you know, start a website. If you ever wanted to start a website based on some idea you had, or you got some stuff you want to sell, or whatever, there's really endless ideas when it comes to websites.
Yeah, and think of, like, I know that we know a lot of artists. And you don't always want your stuff wrapped up in somebody else's website. Like YouTube is somebody else's website.
No way, Twitter, Jose Canseco.
Pinterest, these are all somebody else's websites. Mm-hmm. You need your own home on the internet, especially if you want to, like Steve was saying, sell your wares, have a blog, have like this portfolio that you can send potential clients to showcase your stuff. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of really smart ways to use your own website.
So guys, don't be a dummy. Check out squarespace.com/banter if you want to support the boys, and you know, check out what you might be missing on the forefront of website stuff. Okay, and that's what we're talking about here. And so if you want that free trial, and when you're ready to launch, you can use an offer code banter to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/banter. You get 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain when you use that banter code at checkout. So check it out, guys. Squarespace.com/banter. And when you're ready to launch that site, use that offer code banter. You save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Thank you, Squarespace. Want to get my water. You know when you laugh a lot and you get that stuff in your throat and you're like, man, we've just been laughing all day today, guys. Guys, what's on my butt right now? Bug bites. Lots of them. Hundreds.
Why are there bug bites on your butt?
I sat on a mosquito's nest. I must have. And but I'll tell you what's on top of that. MeUndies. And it's fall, y'all. It's time to replace your water intake with pumpkin spice lattes.
I love those, and I don't care who knows it.
Sure. They're delicious. And why don't you go out of your way and to step on a crunchy leaf, because the coziest time of the year is here. Why don't you find your comfort in undies, loungewear, and more with MeUndies. Oh, man, those big onesies. Whew, I can't wait till winter time.
That's a winter thing.
Because I'm going to get into that snug, and I'm going to snug it up like a bug in a rug.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Because MeUndies believes that comfort is more about is about more than what's touching your skin. It's about feeling comfortable in your skin. And I absolutely will always love MeUndies. My entire underwear drawer is filled with MeUndies. I'm wearing them now. Yes. And I absolutely endorse and love them very much. And if you're like, what is the deal with these undies? Well, just imagine the softest thing you've ever felt. Now imagine that thing on your butt. So guess what? Now you're thinking about MeUndies. And guys, they're available in sizes extra small to 4XL in a variety of classic colors and iconic prints. Fun stuff, good stuff. MeUndies will have your back and your butt all fall long. So here's the offer for our listeners from MeUndies. For any first-time purchasers, you get 15% off and free shipping. MeUndies also has their problem-free philosophy, which is if you're not satisfied with any product for any reason, they're going to refund it or exchange it. No caveats, no questions. So to get 15% off your first order, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can go to MeUndies.com/banter. That's MeUndies.com/banter. We love you, MeUndies. Thank you. And of course, we've got one more sponsor here for the show, Dynamic Banter, with Mike and Steve. We're talking BetterHelp. Guys, what, is there things that are getting in the way of your happiness? We've talked about this. Is there something preventing you from achieving your goals? Are there things that stand in the way of your ultimate happiness? I know that there are for me, and it's very hard to do these things on your own unless you've got a good support system and friends and family, or you've just got the skills and the stuff and you know what it takes to do it on your own. But not all of us have that, and I certainly don't. And things like BetterHelp are out there to help people like me and you to, you know, talk to somebody about things that are bothering you, maybe things that you feel like are ultimately in the way of your happiness. And BetterHelp assesses your needs and matches you with a licensed professional therapist in a safe and private online environment. It's convenient, it's easy, it's safe, it's all that stuff. And you can start communicating with someone in under 48 hours. And here's the deal, very important. It's not a crisis line, it's not self-help, it's professional counseling done securely online. You send a message to your counselor at any time, you get timely and thoughtful responses, plus you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, all without ever having to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room. And BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if you need, which is totally fine and normal, and it's all up to you and your comfort level. And it's available for people worldwide. You can find whatever you need, this particular expertise that you need online. You don't have to limit yourself to the counselors located near you. And we're talking about specialized counselors that specialize in things like depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, sleeping, trauma, anger, whatever, all of these things. And anything you share is confidential, it's convenient, it's professional, it's affordable. And that is all I have to say about that, guys. I know people who have used it, they like it, it's good stuff. Therapy is good. It's never bad to talk to somebody about your issues, and you shouldn't feel like you're alone, because you're not, because there's places like BetterHelp to help you out. So if you want to start living a happier life today, as a listener, you're going to get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor, BetterHelp.com/banter. That's BetterHelp.com/banter, and you're going to join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health at BetterHelp, H-E-L-P. .com/banter.
Great job, Steve.
Thank you, Mike. Yes. And thank you, BetterHelp.
Now to conclude the ads portion of the show. You've made it through the ads. And now I present to you, without further ado, the second half of the show.
All right. Now I'm very excited to share this with you, Mike.
Please.
This is a track that, like I said, from we're back to Hulk Hogan's Hulk Rules album. Featuring Hulk Hogan and the Wrestling Boot Band.
Dude, imagine him talking like in a chair, like VH1 Behind the Music, like documentary style. You know, back when me and the Boots dropped the Hulk Rules album, and he's like super proud of it.
When we locked down the Rules album. He totally calls it the Rules.
He calls album. It Rules.
This I track means. We were
torn on Rules.
When we were locking down rules. I remember when we were slapping down rules in the studio.
Me and the Boots are putting the finishing touches on the rules.
Anyway, this track means a lot to me, Mike. It's about a Hulk Hogan fan who passed away, a young child.
That's not good.
And Hulk Hogan is singing a heartfelt Gimme Money track about this boy who is a Hulk fan.
There's no way of knowing this information, but maybe all the proceeds for the album,
we'd like to know, we'd like to thank,
we're yeah. dedicated, you know. And they're like, we need 10 other songs to fill it out, so the other songs were crap and filler. Yeah. And this was all meant to raise money for
this boy's family.
Yeah.
And I truly believe this is one of the greatest, I mean, you got Tears in Heaven
from Eric Clapton.
Mm-hmm. What's another one about someone who passed away? We got Candle in the Wind, which is about Princess Diana.
Yeah.
I think Don't Worry, Be Happy is about
American Pie, about the Big Bopper.
That's right. Just the Big Bopper.
Yeah. Yeah. Richie Valens. Yeah. Buddy, Buddy Holly.
Buddy Holly by Weezer is about
the Big Bopper.
Is about when Mayor McCheese passed away. It's also about the Big Bopper. All these songs are about the Big Bopper. Tears in Heaven's about the Big Bopper. Did you know that?
All Star is about everyone who didn't make the team.
Walking on the Sun, the other, that Smash Mouth song.
Uh-huh.
Might as well be walking on the sun. That's about the Big Bop.
All
right. This is the greatest song about someone who died.
Keyboard sound or real horn?
I read it in the papers. I saw it on TV. I guess it'll be one empty seat when I wrestle at Wembley.
Wembley.
I used to tear my shirt, but now you tore my heart.
Man.
I knew you were a Hulkamaniac right from the very start.
Is it because he came to see you in an autograph line?
Is it because he had a t-shirt on that said Hulkamaniac? Hulkamaniac.
Let's start. You were my friend. I'll see this you again.
Hey, here we go. Here comes the high.
When the Hulkster comes to heaven.
Half of me is like, don't laugh at this.
How can you not?
Half of me.
How can you not? Half of me. How, dude, come on.
50% of me is like, don't laugh at this.
Hulkster.
And then 50% of is the other half.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is my distinct honor to introduce a man who's created a song. And welcome to these award shows. These are the Emmys.
I don't know.
Let me throw out some track titles here, and then I think you'll know who I'm talking about.
Emmys, the musician.
Tears in Heaven. Candle in the Wind.
Famously written about a Big Bopper.
Hulkster in Heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, Hulk Hogan.
Hulkster in Heaven.
This man needs no introduction. Singing his song, Hulkster in Heaven.
This is the chorus. You were my friend. I'll see you again. And then the singers in the background say, this is not the end. When the Hulkster comes to heaven, we'll tag up again.
You think Hulkster's theme music plays when he comes to heaven? Before he goes through the gates.
I am a real American. No, this is the music that plays.
Dancing up to heaven.
Oh, that's the pre-chorus. The chorus is the world just lost another Hulkamaniac. I wish Hulk's love could bring you back again.
Come on.
You were my friend, and I'll see you again. When the Hulkster comes to heaven, we'll tag up again.
Dude, saying it, just reading it, sounds kind of more genuine.
It really than does. Singing it. So I want to find information about this. Like,
what
really
is? What if he was just talking about this on like Arsenio Hall or something, and he just said those words?
Okay,
you would be like, whoa.
Are you okay? So according to Hogan, Hulkster in Heaven was written in 1992 in honor of a Make-A-Wish kid whom Hogan had invited to sit ringside at a show in the UK.
Yeah, he did a lot.
Wembley.
Wembley.
When Hulk went out to wrestle, he saw the seat was empty. Later, he was informed that the young Hulkamaniac had died before the match had begun.
See, that's why you don't laugh at stuff like this. That's why you don't laugh.
But the song's still real bad.
They still you made can, the
we
song.
Can laugh at how bad the song is.
The story's beautiful.
The sentiment's beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. Too bad he's also a piece of shit in real life. But he did nice things, though, which is cool.
Everyone does good and bad things.
This might have been from his PR team, too. We'll never know.
They made up the story?
No, not that. But, like, having him write a song about it is, like, maybe they're like, maybe you should do that. Like,
or maybe he was so distraught, he just goes back into the dressing room and is like, I need a paper, piece of paper, brother.
Here's the deal, brother. Me and the boots are laying down at a... are laying down rules right now.
We need one more track for rules. One more
track for rules.
You know we've been working on rules for 12 months.
Guess there'll be an the lyric "Guess there'll be an empty seat when I wrestle at Wembley" was a direct result of the situation, despite the fact that Hogan has never wrestled at Wembley Stadium. And had not wrestled at Wembley Arena yet at that point.
Wembley.
Although he would eventually wrestle in the arena in September 1994 for WCW. Mike, are you ready for the coup de grace? Yes. Are you ready for the big? You ready for the fucking? Here we go.
Uh huh.
Proceeds from the album.
Yes.
Went to help the young Hulkamaniac's family. Boom. Who was having trouble paying for medical bills.
Dude, so that's all it is.
That's all it
is. So it was this song, and then they're like, what the fuck are we going to put on this? To fill out this album.
Yeah.
And that's why all the other songs are dirt garbage.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's why this one's like a legit love song, like a legit heartfelt song.
And they put his theme music on here as a way to sell the theme music.
Right.
What a piece of shit. Huh? Hulk?
You are my friend. I wish you were here at ringside to cheer me on tonight.
Dude, see? And now you hear this like big burly guy kind of doing a very gentle soft boy voice. And you think a little bit differently about it, don't you? Wimbley.
I mean, definitely the song is still hot garbage, but yeah, the sentiment is nice. Are you fucking kidding me? Someone says on songmeanings.com, beautiful song. He talks about himself way too much, considering this being a song about a dead child. WTF. Yes, it's sad the child died, and I'm sure the Hulk was truly saddened by it. But this was the strangest fucking way to go about commemorating that child. If this song was about me, I'd be mortified.
You don't know that until the song's about you. I wrote terrible songs for girls, and they were like, this is great.
I seriously believe this to be one of the greatest bands to have ever touched the face of existence.
The boots.
I want to be a Hulkamaniac. The comments on this video are real good, too. I used to tear my shirt, but now you tear my heart. This was my cousin's wedding song.
Holy shit. All
right. Well, anyway, man, I'm glad I got to share.
Really took the wind out of my sails with the...
No. Listen, we can be like, what a beautiful thing. And what a moment that probably lit up that family's life, because uh-huh. The Hulk put so much interest into this kid.
Yeah.
And I think that's really sweet and cool, but the song is still real bad.
You think anyone in the family is like,
I don't want the song.
I don't listen to the song.
We don't want the song. We never wanted the song.
We just want some money, Hulk.
I mean, the money was wonderful. We didn't want the song.
I wonder how many people bought the thing, because this is not like popular.
Let's find out.
Hulk Hogan.
How much money did Hulk Rules make?
It's going to give you like t-shirt numbers or some shit like that.
Oh, probably right. Yeah.
Wait, the Hulk Rules.
Hulk Rules album.
Music album.
Oops. Albium.
Albium. Aluminium. This is actually fascinating information. What if it raised like $1,500?
There's a whole Rickypedia about the Wrestling Boot Band, also known as the Wrestling Boot Traveling Band.
Previously known as the Hiking Boot Band.
Was a musical group fronted by Hulk Hogan, which also included the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart.
Yeah, he would write a lot of the music.
Hogan's then wife, Linda.
Fuck, Linda's in the back singing BVs.
Maybe she's the one singing
backing V's.
The backing vocals.
Yeah.
Back box.
Dude.
Under the name Hulk Hogan and the Wrestling Boot Band. Okay.
Me and the boots are working on rules.
The song American Made was used as Hogan's theme song in World Championship Wrestling when he was not fronting the NWO.
Right. Good according, guy, Hogan.
According to Hogan, Hulkster in Heaven. Oh, yeah, yeah. Because here's the stuff about. Well, all of this was according to Hogan, so he could say whatever he wants.
According to Hogan, and it's all in italics.
Right. So apparently, in 1994. Oh, no. So when all this stuff happened with that kid, that night, Hogan and Jimmy Hart wrote several songs for the album. Hogan let his wife at the time, Linda, sing backup vocals on a couple of the songs because, according to him, she sounded better than the rest of the stuff.
The whole album.
The song Beach Patrol features a sample
from... Linda's the best thing on this album.
The song Beach Patrol features a sample from the title... Tempest from Sonic CD, as heard on the album release of the American version of the game soundtrack, Sonic the Hedgehog Boom. Okay, reception. Although panned commercially, the album has become a cult classic. The pro wrestling website Wrestle Crap criticized the album as such. Hulk rules, the Hulkster's in the house, and invading your eardrums with the force of a class A kill storm. Highlights include every song mentioning Hogan by name, no egotism here, and Jimmy Hart singing with a clothespin on his nose. The album has been called the most unintentionally hilarious album ever created.
ever created. You can get a tape of this right now on eBay for $10.
Oh shit.
You can That's get tight. A CD right now for as low as $5, so best offer accepted.
Whoa. All right.
Yeah.
I expect to see some in the mailbox for us in the
We're
going to
get
box.
Too many.
Maybe you're right.
I'll say it right now. We're going to get too many.
So, okay, so we're at the hour mark of the show.
I'll see you.
We really fucking lost ourselves in this Hulk shit, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fine, right? Like, you know, it's still good shit.
Man.
Still a great sode. Should heavens. We I had two other things to talk about.
Talk.
But what I think we should do dynamic or I think we should do dynamic banter.
Oh, okay. Welcome to the show.
I think we should do History Roads.
Okay.
And then we'll save it for another time.
Let's just say before History Roads comes up that the next like 3 months of like cool merch stuff is on the way and it's all like ready, like cocked and ready to go. And we're very excited. Cock is because I said cocked. We're just very excited to bring a lot of this stuff to you. A lot of stuff we've been hinting at for a long time, and I hope you like it. I hope that you're excited about all the things.
So many things are coming, guys. Really cool shit. And at the end of this episode, I think we have something in the plug area to talk about.
Yeah.
But
man, there's a lot of cool stuff coming.
A lot of cool shit.
Stay tuned till the end of the show.
I hope you guys stick around till the show.
Also, if you're around tonight, which is Friday night, the 10th of September, as of right now, there's 9 tickets left for Surrounded in the live at the Hollywood Improv on Melrose. So if you move your ass, you can move it fast.
And if you do it right, you'll be all night.
You'll be
all night.
You'll pee all night. If you do
and
it
if you
right.
pee all night, you'll pee all night.
I'll All see right. you again.
Here we go.
I found out long ago. Whoa, whoa, whoa. It's a long way down the history road. Whoa, whoa, whoa. History road. History
First History Road comes from Evan, someone named Evan, who has an early life poo philosophy, History Road.
I don't know what that is.
I also don't know what that is. But I bet we'll find out right after this. My name is Evan, and I'm a 31-year-old born boy. Big born boy. Whoa, now. From Phoenix, Arizona area.
Whoa, now.
Whoa, now. I'm ready to tell a tale of young ignorance, hope, perseverance, and dismay. The hope I had at age 7 revolved around my struggles with making poop.
If you're not familiar.
Whoa, doing them at the same time is great. That's a good one. I like that one. Hell yeah. Why do we keep getting poop shit in our fucking History Roads lately? There was constipation that came with it, Mike. He says, I no longer wanted the pain. He says, I no longer wanted the pain associated with the bodily function, but what I didn't understand was that this bodily function was a requirement in order to live.
Also, he was trying to suppress.
Mm-hmm. Must have been something stressful going on there. Indeed, my little mind cooked up an idea. I don't want to poop anymore, so I won't. And I proceeded to not have a bowel movement for 5 years?
No.
That doesn't make sense.
No.
Well, at least no voluntary bowel movement for 5 years.
Whoa. You shit your pants once a day for voluntary, 5 years. Voluntary?
Would it just push right out of your pooper?
Goes out of his ears.
My trek through the no poopy no more zone was fraught with many hurdles and trying moments, but the first big ordeal occurred when my family decided to shop at the local outlet mall.
Ruined a day at the outlets.
Big problem. It was special to go to the outlets in my town.
You're trying to get half-priced Adidas?
My body... at the corner of Payless, I looked around to see if the coast was clear, because I was churning up a fart deep down, and it needed out.
At the corner of Payless. There's no cross street?
The corner of a Payless and
the
Nike.
Corner of Pay and Less. Meet me at the corner of Pay and Less.
The corner of Nike and TGI Fridays. So with no one around, I made a light push, and boom, out came everything.
Obviously, too.
Jesus Christ. Not okay. This is not what a podcast should be.
I want to be that sound, bro.
Came out. My body.
Imagine advertising.
Guys, we're up for a podcast award. Should have voted for us.
Oh my god. Dude, we just gotta go home from Spotify. They want to pay us $1 million.
Yeah, they want us to have the Joe Rogan experience, is what they said.
Yeah, they said, how would you like the Joe Rogan experience?
We said, right into our MeUndies. My body had devised an uprising against me, and after the shockwave settled, I looked behind me to see one of those bubble mirrors on the top of the top corner of the store. My light tan shorts had a huge wet brown stain right on the ass. My response, denial. This didn't happen. This brown spot is a fashion statement. I reassured myself and followed my parents out to the next stop, when my mom confronted me about it. Son, it looks like you shit your fucking pants. It looks like he said he was seven.
Seven, okay.
Right? Yeah, seven.
Wow.
I brushed it off like nothing happened, but we soon left the area and went home for me to clean up. Wait, you brushed it off like nothing happened. Your mom was like, honey, did you shit your pants?
You were like, no. And she believed you? She got outwitted by a seven-year-old?
And I'm going to wait till we get home, I guess. Yeah. But then you'd be like, let's go home.
This kid's embarrassed and I still need slides.
I truly hope this wasn't too long. If you do read this anecdote, I appreciate it. Big fans of you too, and glad to keep listening. Evan, I
straight up don't believe you didn't shit for 5 years.
I also don't believe that.
I'm skeptical at best.
Gage. Someone named Gage sends an email saying, shove it, Steve. Hi boys, I only put this as a subject so you'd read it.
Do you think that would make us read it?
Definitely not. It was just next. You guys are great and I listen to you. I'm not even lying all day. I do not even remember the last time I listened to music. Your poop cast is so funny.
We kind of listened to a whole album today.
Your poop cast is so funny to me. I love laughing at it all day. Anyway, I had some blank as my favorite blank stuff. I was playing my weekly session of D&D and we're at a sort of horse racing track, but it was for dinosaurs.
Okay.
One of the dinosaur names was Mountain Thunder.
Mountain Thunder is my favorite flavor of Mountain Dew or something similar.
I had a couple good ones in there for it. Mountain Thunder is my favorite monster truck.
Uh-huh, that's pretty good.
Mountain Thunder is my favorite Walmart knockoff soda.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Mountain Thunder is my favorite scent of a men's shampoo.
Uh-huh.
Mountain Thunder is my favorite fart descriptor. And finally, Mountain Thunder is my favorite Goosebumps book.
I like all those. All those.
Thanks for the laughs, boys, and shout out to Derek. It hasn't gotten annoying yet.
No, I still like it.
Damien sends an email saying he got a new job. Says, how you doing, boys? I'm Damien Razzle from Las Vegas.
Razzle.
And I've recently got a new job as a porter for an apartment complex. Not sure what that is. 80% of the job is walking around picking up people's litter. And in the month I've worked here, I've found some interesting stuff I wouldn't expect. So I've compiled a list for you guys to enjoy. Oh, I love this.
This is fun, yeah.
This is great. Here you go. All right, here's stuff that Damien Razzo found at a Las Vegas apartment complex.
Rich people garbage.
Cleaning up. One whole fish.
Wow.
A bloody mask, not around the nose. Okay. So someone's...
Are you reading an evidence list?
Sounds like an 1800s tuberculosis handkerchief someone was coughing into. Plate full of cupcakes. That must have been a breakup or something. Or someone's like
shitty
peace offering maybe. And they're like, fuck that person.
Yeah, fuck you. You think cupcakes will fix this?
Yeah, no. Cupcakes don't make up for that shit. It is Vegas, but you know. Hang on, let me turn this on. Too many cleanly eaten chicken bones. Dude, I'm always interested in that.
Why?
Like chicken bones that have been like completely cleaned of every...
A taste for different
all things. Sorts of stuff, yeah.
I'm kind of out on chicken wings at the moment.
Really? Just in general?
I don't know.
Enough?
It's like the older I got, the more I thought about it,
it's
the more I didn't like
gross.
It.
Gross.
Yeah.
It's good.
They have to taste pretty good for me to get over... How weird it is.
Because you're like getting in there and there's like veins and sinew and ligaments and you're like,
and buffalo sauce.
And sugar. And fried shit.
I love that shit. I'm not going to act like it's bad.
Oh, yeah. Same. But it's like, it's really weird when you think about it. When you think too hard about it, it starts to get gross.
And then you think super hard about it and you're like, oh, we're people.
Right.
And we're just, at the top of the food chain.
That we're just chomping down on beasts, other beasts. People's finances on a napkin. Not enough condoms. Human-sized dog shit on the sidewalk.
Sounds like you're just doing candle flavors.
Hope you guys enjoyed. This job is boring and your podcast has made it somewhat fun. Have a good day.
I would listen to this while I go picked up that kind of stuff. Thank you for keeping a list. when I'm at the Coliseum.
Here's some, someone's got some funny Beatles content.
Okay.
Jamie sends a thing with funny Beatles content, wrote saying hi to the gorgeous DBBB boys. Gorgeous, huh?
This is, who's this?
This is Jamie. Someone named Jamie.
Hi, Jamie.
Or Jamie. Jamie.
Jamie. Can I shout out one time on TikTok this fucking Joey Dardano, dude?
Yeah, please. Oh, the guy doing the thing? Yeah, play it.
Joey Dardano, dude.
Let's hear his long note.
Listen to this Italian man say this. This is my favorite sound that's on TikTok right now.
I can't even do it.
Dude, that's like the Mariah Carey of Italian people.
Oh, yeah.
Mucciello Carey.
This is a singular honk, little lady, horn-born South England girl. Long-time listener, you know, them good old SourceFed and Mike OG advice days. First-time reader, roader. That's good. I like that. First-time roader.
Roader.
Because
nice.
I've truly never had a single thing worth sharing with you guys. However, that all changed this morning when I was pursuing Twitter instead of doing my job.
Perusing.
And came across... It is perusing, isn't it? It is. Yep.
That's all right.
And came across something. I knew instantly I had to share with y'all my new favorite thing. Books written by people with tenuous links to the Beatles. I've attached a few that I've come across in the Twitter thread and hope you get as much of a kick out of it as I did. Thanks for all the laughs and bits. Got me through some seriously hard times in my life, and watching you both all these years has made me truly weird. I love it. P.S. A repo man just came and towed my car because I owed them 400 British pounds.
Oh, no.
So your morning is probably going better than mine. Also, I am from the South, so I sounds nothing like the Beatles if you read this in the accent. Go off, I guess.
Go off, Kings.
Paul McCartney's hairdresser wrote a book called The Cutting Edge. The story of the Beatles hairdresser who defined an era.
The story of Deborah.
Charlie Lennon, uncle to a Beatle. John Lennon's uncle wrote a book.
Well, one time he came over and he shit his pants and then he humped the fridge.
I remember he had a bike. That's kind of a memory I have of him.
Oh, you know what? I'll tell you something you probably never heard before. You ready? He loved apples.
I'm his uncle.
I'm his uncle.
He loved
a woman who apples. Did their payroll wrote a book called My Beatles Hell, The Tragical History Tour of Beryl Adams.
Tragical History Tour, she says.
My Beatles Hell, The Tragical History Tour of Beryl Adams. Beryl Adams was Brian Epstein's first secretary as he forged his musical dynasty and molded the Beatles into the world's most successful pop band ever. She was once married to the homosexual cavern disc jockey Bob Wooler and counted amongst her string of lovers Epstein's biographer Ray Coleman.
Can you please read that guy's title? That guy's official title again.
Homosexual cavern disc jockey Bob
Wooler. Come on,
the guy
man.
Was a homosexual cavern. You could find three or four guys inside that guy at any time.
You have a card, a business card?
Yeah. He's a real good guy, Bob Wooler. Homosexual cavern disc jockey, we called him. Everything was cool back then. She disliked John Lennon intensely, regarding him as an overbearing bully, and always knew that Paul McCartney was a much smarter cookie, the guy with the staying power. Someone had a crush.
Fuck.
Someone got denied by Lennon and then was like, fuck you.
Well, he was also not a nice person.
She was arguably the first woman to manage a pop band, the Kirkbees, who could have hit the big time if handled right. They weren't and didn't.
Fuck.
She died horribly and unexpectedly of mad cow's disease. Why does it say this on the back of the book?
I don't know. It's put out by a person who's even more separate from the Beatles.
What is this song?
This is called Clap Your Fucking Hands by Hulk Hogan.
And finally, her personal favorite. A woman who made John a cheese sandwich wrote a book called A Cheese Sandwich for John Lennon, Coming of Age in Rockin' Liverpool.
How many pages is that
book? I don't know. I just see the cover and it's got a grilled cheese on it with some glasses.
300 pages. The woman who made the grilled cheese sandwich. Dude, imagine... I mean, I guess it's not impressive until you read about how much money the book made.
I know.
If the book made a lot of money, then it's like, how famous does John Lennon have to be for the person who may not actually
make a profit off
of it? Right. I'm guessing 14 people have that book.
I saw him come in the house with some overalls on.
I knew John Lennon had little shorts.
I knew he was gonna be a big star because of the way he would drink his milk.
Chapter 2.
Chapter 2, the way John drank his milk.
All right, Maggie, we'll do one more here.
I want to read it.
Maggie McGonagall. I know, I'd read it too.
He ran around a lot. That's it.
That's the end of the book.
There by the window in the morning sun, John sat and drank his milk. John just laughed and laughed and laughed, you know, like he was a kid or something.
Ran around and around, round and round and round. Round and round.
One time I saw John, he went up to one of the neighborhood dogs and pet it on the head, and that's when I knew he was gonna be a star.
Just trying to come up with any.
Yeah.
I'm his uncle. Every other sentence says he's his uncle.
Did you ever hear him sing? I sang happy birthday to my mother once.
I heard him whistle.
All right, Maggie sends an email saying, "Hey there, BB Bueys," saying, "History Road, Mike, I'll help you die in my hometown."
Oh, tight.
Someone's going to murder you. I was listening to last week's episode 272, Scared Cow's Milk, on the plane. On the way home from my honeymoon.
Somebody had to type that.
Then I heard Mike's mention my hometown. Heard Mike mention my hometown for the second time in podcast history, except this time he wasn't mentioning a burger place he fell in love with that had been gone, unfortunately.
Oh, Doylestown.
But mentioning that my hometown was like Northern California, in which it was of the places he would happily die at. Well, Mike, being a Doylestown, PA native myself, let me just say you might find a little more... than $600,000 to die in Bucks County, but when you need a realtor or a tour guide, you can always hit me up. I also...
Is she saying she's from Northern California, or she's from Doylestown?
She's from Doylestown, but I think she lives...
Okay.
Wait, but mentioning that my hometown was like Northern California, in which it was... of the places he would happily die at. Well, Mike, being a Doylestown, PA native. Oh, so she must be from there, but is now living in Doylestown. Is that what I'm getting from this? Is that what you're getting from this? What's anybody getting from this? Maybe it'll make more sense when we read more of it.
Okay.
When you need a realtor or tour guide, you can always hit me up. I also only have the personality traits of being A, Italian, and B, homesick for the Northeast.
So she's in, dude, context clues, yep. Blair.
So give me an excuse. That's
the fucking Da Vinci Code of realtor.
To be fair, we didn't read the whole fucking thing. Maybe read the whole thing first.
That's a long whistle.
She's homesick for the Northeast, so give me an excuse to go home. Love you boys lots. Please tour somewhere near Cleveland or Detroit so I can escape this corn-filled hell in Ohio I currently live in for a little bit.
Oh, my God.
Now we're all over the place.
Oh, my God.
Now we're all over the place. This is some Da Vinci Code shit.
Why are you trying to sell me a house in Ohio?
That I live in for a little bit to laugh and enjoy some horn honkies. Thank you for always being my friends and filling my home with laughter while I cook or clean. Y'all truly mean a lot to me. Hugs and kisses, Maggie Giles or Giles. Oh,
dirty Maggie Giles.
And she's got her Insta on here and said had to change it because of marriage. It's now whatever this is. And then her phone number is here. But I don't want to call her.
I don't want to live in Ohio.
Guys, thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the show. We hope you guys really enjoyed our walk down memory lane.
Dude, this was an insane episode.
What a lot. We went everywhere.
Yeah.
I didn't even get to talk about Orifice from The Matrix.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for next episode. All right. Well, plugs.
Surrounded is happening tonight. I'm doing those advice videos. I'm trying to get a bunch done at once. So if you have anything you'd like me to talk about, hit me up in my DMs on Instagram. My photography Instagram is Mike Faltography, and on MikeFalzone.com, you'll see a link, and I'm selling a bunch of presets so you could edit photos like some of the ones that I've edited over the past year, and that's been really fun. Dude, and me and Steve.
Wee you, red alert, big announcement.
This is the announcement we were talking about before.
For those of you that stayed all the way to the end, here's your reward.
It looks like, should have looked this up before we started recording, but on the 1st and 2nd of December, it looks like the DB Live Experience is coming back to the live arena. Where, you might ask? Either on December 1st or 2nd, be in Brooklyn at the world famous Bell House.
The Crystal Ballroom in Boston.
And that's the other one.
Oh, wait, Crystal Ballroom and Bell House.
Yes, these are two different.
Two different places.
Which day are which?
It's, well, unclear currently. It looks like...
It should be clear.
Let's see, what do we have here? December 1st at the Crystal Ballroom in Boston. And then December 2nd at the Bell House in Brooklyn.
We're expecting links from those pretty soon. So if we get them like tonight, they'll be in the description of the podcast. If not, I'll have a link on MikeFalzone.com when everything is finalized. And yeah, you'll be able to find this info. Yeah. Dude, I did a direct.me in the bio section of my Instagram. And that has a bunch of like important links.
It's like a link tree almost.
Yeah, similar.
I love that.
But I really like the way the direct.me looks.
I'll check it out.
So I'll put it there when it's all ready.
But yeah, we're going to have ticket links up soon, and we hope to see you guys on the East Coast. It's our first out-of-state Dynamic Banter tour. Oh, no, we went to Nashville.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah. It's our first one in New York, I think.
First one on the East Coast, yeah. So, you East Coast born boys and girls and everyone in between, please come to see your DB boys live, because it's something else when we do a live show.
Yes.
A lot of weird shit happens. We do live history roads. If you got a story,
bring a story to tell.
If you're not afraid to be roasted by Mike and I, probably.
Well, only if you deserve it.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, you can't help that. But anyway, more details soon. But yes, we're very excited. We're going to get out there and see you guys. And yeah, that's the big announcement.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I mean, all the stuff I said before. A lot of fun. It's just going to be a fun future time.
Yep.
A lot of fun stuff in the near future for us.
So we hope you guys look forward to that. We'll keep you guys in the loop. And we appreciate you very much. Thank you for your History Roads. Thank you to HeadGum. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Steve.
We'll see you next time on the show.
Bye.
That was a HeadGum podcast.